Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Matthew. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We are here in Matthew chapter 22, continuing, where the Lord was teaching the Sadducees the error of their way and the error of their absolutely infantile thought processes. The Sadducees were so far into so-called liberal theology that they could not think properly. Here they put forth this ludicrous concept that a man had a wife and he died, and each of his six other brothers had the same wife, one after the other, and they all died in turn, and then finally the wife died, and they asked, in the resurrection, whose wife shall be of the seven? Shall she be of the seven? Because they all had her as a wife. Well, that was truly a silly question, because the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection at all, in any way. But they were making up a question for Christ to try to trip him up in some fashion. And how would they be able to do that? They wouldn't even know his answer. They were so lacking in brain matter. And that's what you find oftentimes with the liberalism of thought that creates such questions as this one. You find people that are truly lacking in their ability to understand. And that was the situation here for these Sadducees. But they thought they could put the question to him, since the Pharisees have been bested, the Herodians have been bested. They thought they could do better than they, and they asked this ludicrous question. Verse 29, we'll go to there again. We've read it last time, but haven't really talked about it. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." You make a mistake because you don't know the holy written word of God, nor the very power of Almighty God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. They will be asexual beings. It doesn't mean that the fellowship of the saints is lost, not at all. It does not mean that the fellowship of family is lost, not at all. But what it does mean is there is no such thing as marriage in heaven, but the family will be known there. The individuals will be known there, but they're not going to have the same kind of life in heaven as they had on earth. The Sadducees simply misunderstood the truth of heaven because they didn't believe in it. They didn't believe in heaven or in angels or in the resurrection or in anything supernatural. If it was beyond this earth, they did not believe in it or anything about it. So they thought that a resurrected life would be just like the life lived here on earth pre-resurrection. Of course, that's not true. Glorified men and women will be men and women in glorified bodies. They're not going to be changed into angels. Angels are created beings, a specific type of created being, to be a messenger of God. Men and women are created beings, created in the image of God, to fellowship with God, to give God praise and honor and glory. And so when we are glorified, we will be glorified as a human being, as a man or as a woman. Resurrected believers will be in a state of perfect glorification, perfect fellowship, and we could say, perhaps redundantly, that believers in resurrected bodies will be perfected perfection. Now, I've never been perfect. I've never been close to being perfect. I've never met anybody that is perfect. I've met some people that are very nice, very good, very understanding, very wise, very smart, very knowledgeable, but I've never met a perfect human being. When we get to glory, we will have perfection. Now, we go on with the reading. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am, now that's God speaking of his ever-presence. He is an ever-present being. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And then Christ goes on to say, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, and I might put in here, parenthetically, just as he had put them to silence, they were gathered together. They got together with the Sadducees. They were all losers. They were all absolutely irrelevant to the heavenly plan, the heavenly kingdom. And so they got together to try to make a problem for Christ. Now, in verses 31 through 34, Christ attacks the Sadducees' major tenet of faith, the major belief that they held, which was no resurrection at all. He quoted Exodus 3:6. It was a statement from the only part of the Old Testament that Sadducees unquestioningly accepted. It was from the Pentateuch, and the Sadducees accepted the Pentateuch as being the Word of God. So he related the eternal I Am of God to the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to demonstrate that they were of the living, or in fact, we would say, immortal. Now, it's a fact unlikely to be denied by the Sadducees in a public dispute. They would believe that these patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were all immortal, were still living, if you will. Even though they didn't believe in an afterlife, they would not have said, no, they're dead. They're not living. Well, Christ quotes from Exodus 3:6, one of their scriptures, and then points out that God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Now, it certainly doesn't mean that God doesn't have anything to do with those who die. He certainly does. God is concerned. In fact, he tells us that precious in his sight is the death of one of his saints. God loves us and takes care of us in this life, and as we have placed our trust in Jesus Christ, God will take care of us in the life yet to come. Now, the departed are not dead in the sense of having gone away for good and have been annihilated in some fashion. No. You see, the departed are still alive. They are still responsible to the living God, just as it teaches us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. Now, the Sadducees were quiet, and the multitude was astonished. And so they got together with the Pharisees to see what they could do to cause Christ a problem. Verse 35, then one of them, which was a lawyer, here they come, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now notice what the Lord said. You love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. That's number one. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Now this lawyer was not a lawyer as we would know it in studying civil or criminal statutes. But this was a lawyer, meaning a person who had studied the law of God. Someone who was an expert at the Old Testament and the Old Testament law. He was a doctor of theology, you might say. And so here this doctor of theology is asking the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, what's the greatest commandment? Now, he was wanting to draw Jesus into an argument regarding the Pharisees' interpretations of over 600 laws. The Pharisees had enumerated 600 laws, but Christ summarized the two tables of the law. The first one was the responsibility of mankind to God. And then the second table was the responsibility of mankind to man. Now, he paraphrased Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, and he paraphrased Leviticus 19:18 by saying, love the Lord thy God in all of the heart and soul and mind, and then love thy neighbor as thyself. And so that phrase, with all thy heart, indicates the total being of man, the way the Jews thought, the very essence of man, the very being of man, was this heart. It's part of the Shema, the Jewish confession of faith in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, and chapter 11, verses 13 through 21, also part of Numbers chapter 15, verses 37 through 41. And as the greatest commandment, it was of supreme importance and priority. Now, what are the Pharisees going to do with it? They've got 600 laws, 600 of these Old Testament laws. Are they going to say to Jesus, another one is supreme? No, no. The Pharisees had nothing to say about that. And so the great commandment is indeed, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And then he summarizes the second tablet of the law, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, and indeed they do. If you want to learn, listen to the words of Christ Jesus himself as he taught us. Now, I know he's teaching the Pharisees, he's answering the question, but he's teaching us as well. 2,000 plus years later, we're still learning. Verse 41, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them. Now it's Jesus' turn, and he asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. He saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst or dared any man from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Now, He counter-questions the Pharisees, and this, of course, was allowed in debate, and it was also allowed in argumentation, and certainly was allowed in the conversation that they were having because they've been trying to trap Jesus, and they were certainly unable to do so because he is the author of the Old Testament. He is the Word incarnate in flesh. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? So he asked of the Messiah. He gave him a clear opportunity to acknowledge him as the Messiah, and they did not. The question was similar to that asked of the disciples there in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, where he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he turned it around and said, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And the disciples gave the correct answer. Pharisees' response said he's the son of David. And that was a common teaching of the scribes who accepted the lineage of David for the Messiah, such as Mark 12:35. Jesus calls then their scribes who accepted that and calls their attention to Psalm 110, which has already been recognized as messianic. And this psalm, whose Davidic authorship Jesus affirms, was given in spirit, that is, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And there David refers to the Messiah as his Lord. Now, the Pharisees couldn't understand. They wanted to believe in a human Messiah, not a divine Messiah. And so they were not able to answer. They could not defeat him by question or debate, and then they did not dare to ask him any more questions because it was not good for them to keep losing any debate that they were having. Just think about it. Just think about it. Every time they would ask him a question or try to trap him, he would immediately put them on the defensive. And let's read Psalm 110, just to put it in perspective. "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Now, they did know this was a messianic psalm. They believed it. And here, of course, Christ asserts the Davidic authorship, so that stands well. And so that's how this reads. Okay, verse 1 again. "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." This is Psalm 110, and he centered there on verse 1, but the entire psalm is messianic. "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." They were unwilling to consider that he was the Messiah. They certainly wouldn't acknowledge that publicly. And they were unable within themselves to believe that God would send his son to be the Messiah through the Davidic line. And so the idea of son of David, they thought, was purely human. And of course, can you blame them for having a lack of understanding? They were so wrapped up in themselves anyway. These Pharisees all wanted to have control. They all wanted to be in charge. They wanted to control the Jewish state. And so as they were looking at Jesus, who was truly God the Son wrapped in flesh, they could not or would not believe that he could be God and man. Now, the so-called uneducated disciples were able to believe that. They had difficulties, but they were able to believe it. But the doctors of theology who had read the law frontwards and backwards and understood it better than any, could not receive the truth that Jesus the Christ was the Son of the living God and the Messiah, the Son of David.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.